Welcome to the New World Order Disorder, a weekly broadcast hosted by Dr. Gianni Hayes. Stay tuned. Things are about to get interesting.
Good evening, listeners. This is Dr. Gianni Hayes with my show, The New World Order Disorder, on the American Voice Radio Network, one of the largest networks around. We are heard on the not only on the internet and certainly on AM and FM stations across the nation, but you can hear us via satellite and KU band, as well as download us on iPods and cell phones and shortwave. There's just a variety of ways to listen to us. I think there are 9 all in all. So, you know, there's no reason you cannot listen to this show or share it with other people and have them listen as well. AVR, or the American Voice Radio Network, has some of the best hosts around, as well as fantastic guests and very controversial but informative and interesting subjects. And this is a little bit past 8 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast, which is where I'm located. The station is on the West Coast, and this is the miracle of technology. So let's go over some basic things here. I would like you to check out my website, which is creative-services.biz, creative with a little hyphen, services.biz, or you could go to the nazarzine.com, www.thenazarzine.com. And there you will see, you could click on books and you will see my, not all my books are there, but many of my 19 published books are there. And so I invite you to go there, as well as my bio if you wanted to know what my background is. Sometimes people write me and say, well, Gianni, what is your background? And, you know, I don't usually say this much, but I have 4 degrees, including a doctorate earned at the University of Maryland, College Park. And give me a round of applause. I did it summa cum laude. That means A's in every single subject. So talk about a perfectionist. I want to thank all the patriots for listening to the show every single week, and I am pleased that they rate both my show and Frank's show, who is the owner and producer of American Voice Radio, as two of their favorite shows. You can also go to the chat room, and here you could talk to us in a chat room, and this is really simple. You go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com. When you get to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, you're going to be on the main page. On the left side, it says chat. You click on chat. A browser comes up, and it asks you for a username and a password. You could put in your real name if you want, but you can make up a name, a username, and you could put in any password that you want. When you do that, what you will see is that you will then be in the chat room. And I love the chat room. There are a lot of great people in that chat room. And I love their support and their loyalty and their kindness. So please make sure that, you know, you join us in a chat room. And another way that you can certainly get us is Frank has set up what is called the phone bridge. And you dial this number, which is 218-862-7200, 218-862-7200. 862-7200, an automated voice comes on and it asks you for a code, and you put in 36. You do this right on the pad of your phone, 361113. That's all you have to put in, 361113, 361113, and automatically you will hear either my voice or the guest voice. And if you have a speakerphone button on your phone, just press that. And it's like you're listening to the radio. You can also call in and ask questions. And I like when you do that because it certainly tells me that you feel that you have something important to voice. And I do respect that. So please do that. And that's 1-800. Frank pays for the call. Don't worry about it. 1-800-596-8191. 1-800-596-8191. 8191. And I do want to mention that next week's guest, and you should all try to listen to this, is Brian Fisher of American Family Associates, and he is coming on to talk about the problems with Sharia law and how that may very well affect us, and in fact has infected us, he says. So please tune in next week. 2 weeks after him is Kathy Burns, and Dr. Kathy Burns, and she's coming on to talk about various subjects regarding the New World Order and what people's claims are about, you know, the Antichrist, in that they're not always accurate. In fact, they're more likely inaccurate than they are accurate. Please do not forget to go to TalkStreamLive.com, TalkStreamLive.com, and click on my name. I'm on for 2 hours, so at least two clicks. And what that does is it moves us up to first place. And first place is important for my guest, because their message then goes out to multiple streams, and we get more listeners and more people hearing their message. And I think lastly, I want to remind you about the Wave Shield. Well, while you're in AmericanVoiceRadio.com, go to Superstore. When you click on Superstore, look for Wave Shield. Now, as soon as you find the Wave Shield, get out your credit card, because this is a vital, vital item for you and your family. And it is an item that filters out cell phone radiation. And I'm sure you have read all of the research on it. And if you listen to me on a regular basis, you're likely tired of hearing me say this. But it's vitally important that you do this, because the cell phone microwaves go through the soft cartilage of the ear and up into the brain tissue. And I remind you that every week, but a few years ago, I had a woman who was on my show, had 7 brain tumors removed. Luckily for her, they were all benign. But what they found out was that the brain tumor started forming around the time that she used a cell phone. Now, she used a cell phone a lot, but every minute you use a cell phone is equivalent to one x-ray. So you need to really think about that. So this little filter, which is just a little piece of plastic or vinyl or whatever it is, I'm not even sure, I'll have to ask Frank, goes just over the earpiece of your phone. You can still hear. It doesn't block it, but it certainly deflects the radiation. So please do that. Frank has them on sale, and I think he has them the cheapest anywhere. So I think it's $17 and something. Regularly, it's 20-something. So, you know, please consider that. It's pretty important. Now, did I get all the business in? I think that I did. I talked to you about TalkStream Live, and I talked to you about the chat room, and I gave you the toll-free number. So let's talk about the guests. Now, these two guests were on last week, and they are Jason Rand and John DiNardo. And I brought them back because they had a lot of interesting information, and people were actually interested in what they had to say, and they had more questions. And I fielded some of those questions, and I'm going to ask them tonight. But the topic, of course, was on Planet X. But tonight we're going to talk about not only Planet X, but how does Planet X fit in with Bible prophecy and the Mayan calendar? I was telling a woman today from Turkey, who's an American citizen now, about Planet X, and she was petrified. Now, you know, we need to find out whether or not this is something that we really need to be fearful of, or did the Mayans, for example, mean it just as a new age and not necessarily the destruction of our age? So we're going to talk to both John and Jason about that. You know, I introduced John on my show many, many times. He has been maybe a dozen times on my show over the years. But let me just kind of give you some basic stuff on him again. He earned his degree in science education from Keene University with electives in physics and biology. And he taught high school physics before returning to electronics career during his 4.5 years in the Marine Corps. Now, you know, that says something about teaching high school physics, because before I became a college professor, I taught high school physics and science because I have three degrees in biology and chemistry and the other sciences. That's not easy to do, let me tell you. Additionally, he graduated from the Naval Air Technical Training Center in Memphis, Tennessee, as a Scholastic Honor Man in Aviation Electronics Technician School. He's also completed evening college courses in electrical engineering and in advanced mathematics. And this had to do with differential equations. If you know something about math, you know a little bit about what this is. That was at Farley Dickinson University. He performed troubleshooting, fault analysis, and design of electronic circuitry, working for numerous corporations, including Bendix Avionics, Dynacol in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and McGraw-Edison Corporation and Industrial Timer Corporation, which both are in New Jersey. So this, along with his studies and his work for electronics company, gained him diverse experience in the principles and analysis of electronic circuitry and all that other science and math stuff that he knows about. And he also worked 20 years with Bell Telephone Laboratories. And he spent two more years with Mobile Vision, Inc., which is a police car video system, which is interesting because my son-in-law does work where he has set up a tracking system for like mobile vehicles. Companies send out their vehicles, but that's neither here nor there. Now, Jason Rand has an honorary PhD in the field of energy informative sciences from the Academy of Energy Informative Sciences, which is conducted with Moscow University, and of course that's in Russia. His contributions in the study, in the study and pursuit of extraterrestrials, I'll get that. Maybe I need another glass of water. And his research into UFO phenomena, cosmology, and his representing the United States at the first World UFO Congress, that was in Tucson in 1991, earned him distinctive recognition and his honorary doctorate from the Russian Academy of Sciences in 1992. He also attended the University of Illinois, Palmer School of Business, the National College of Chiropractic, and earned three U.S. Army school diplomas from 1963 to 1966. He is a gold, platinum, multi-award winning, now this is an interesting aspect of Jason, music producing, recording artist, songwriter, publisher, and recording studio manager, and as a music A&R executive with real hands-on corporate industry experience. As a Grammy-nominated record producer, Jason received significant industry recognition from RIAA, NARAS, and NATRA, as well as Billboard, Record World, and Cashbox magazines. A Reader's Digest article he had in on Hot Dance Music, a 60-minute TV disco dance special, and three Dick Clark LA Music Award nominations, earning him, now listen to this, 35 gold and platinum records. He lives in Mississippi. So, you know these gentlemen. I had them on last week, and we're going to talk some more tonight. So, welcome, Jason and John.
Good evening, Jenny. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
John?
Hi, Gianni. It's a pleasure being with you and your audience.
Well, it's always great having you on, John, and I'm getting to enjoy Jason coming on as well. So let's go ahead and start talking. And you know what, John? You had sent me an email saying that you were explaining something last week, and we were interrupted, and I do want you to finish that. And it was kind of like a brief history. And that's fine. You know, don't get too technical, John. You know, I beat you over the head about that, but go ahead. Let's start with that.
Well, one of the proofs that of the existence of Planet X and the return, the imminent return of Planet X, is the fact of its periodicity, which means it is very punctual. It returns to our solar system at regular, predictable intervals of 36 and a half centuries. When we look back, we can see the evidence of this predictable periodic return. 36 and a half centuries ago was the date a geologist tentatively or approximately date the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt at around 1650 B.C. And all the great plagues and the devastation that we are expecting soon occurred at that time when the Israelites were liberated from Egyptian bondage by the hand of God. There were plagues such as meteor showers pelting the Egyptian populace, smashing and killing many people, including cattle. The book of Exodus describes fire running along the ground, hailstones, great hailstones. But these were probably not ice stones, but actual rocks. And there was also electrical discharges because these passing comets, when they get close enough to Earth, will discharge their saturated plasma, electrified gases that engulf these comets. And they will discharge the Earth pretty much like the way your hand discharges electricity when you walk across a carpet and touch a doorknob. And so you had this electrical fire discharging along with the rocks coming down. And this is all described in the book of Exodus. Of course, you had many other plagues, too numerous to mention, the waters turning blood red. And scientists today studying Planet X believe that that phenomena was caused by iron oxide dust, which is gravitationally dragged along by Planet X like a huge vacuum cleaner traveling toward us from deep space. It picks up all kinds of debris, all sizes of debris, some as small as iron oxide dust, which is red, incidentally, and which the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied 2,000 years ago would come again and would, well, not come again, but he said it would turn the moon to blood. And this is what they believe is going to cause that blood-red moon, and also the sun will turn black as sackcloth because the sun is a much greater distance away from us than the moon. So we won't be able to see the sun because of the dust cloud surrounding Planet X, but we will be able to see the much closer moon with a bloody red filter over it from this iron oxide dust. Well, that's what happened in Egypt. But going back to the recurrence, the periodicity of Planet X, we can go back another 36 and a half centuries from 1650 B.C., and we land on 5300 B.C., which is the approximate time when geologists Pittman and Ryan show from their research that the great flood of Noah's day occurred. They did research on the Black Sea and found that the dating, geological dating of that flood of Noah's day was around 5300 B.C. Well, that's another 36 and a half centuries before the Exodus, the plagues of the book of Exodus. Incidentally, getting back to Exodus, there's another geological timestamp or landmark around 1650 during the plagues of the Exodus from Egypt, where geologists show us that there was a tremendous volcanic eruption from the great Santorini volcanic caldera in the island of Santorini in the Aegean Sea, just north of Egypt. And at that time, a dust cloud drifted southward from this volcanic eruption. The geologists say from their studies that it looks like it was about the greatest volcanic explosion that they've ever recorded. I mean, it beats everything that has occurred in modern history. And this dust cloud drifted southward at a time when God said that Moses and Aaron should throw up ashes, cast ashes from the furnace up in the air in the face of Pharaoh and his magicians. And that would cause ashes, hot cinders, to come down in a big cloud covering the entire land of Egypt, which it did. So God ordained that the volcanic explosion and the drifting of the cloud would occur at just the right instant in time when he had ordained his prophets, Moses and Aaron, to rebuke Pharaoh. So we go back from 1650 BC to the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, another 36 and a half centuries to 5300 BC, the days of Noah's flood, and then we further go back another 36 and a half centuries prior to 5300 BC, and we land around 9000 BC, which is the time period when many scientists and ancient historians, archaeologists, believe that the sinking of Atlantis occurred. So this periodicity, this regular chronological interval, tells us that if the interval, the time that it takes for this comet to go on its pendulum-like journey into our solar system and then back out into deep space and circulate around a distant sun, like a pendulum on a grandfather's clock, this periodic time interval indicates to us that it is due to return very soon.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, John. So I want to throw out a question to both you and Jason. And tonight I want it to be a question-answer kind of thing if we can. And the question was brought up by a listener, and that is, let me see if I can get it here. It says, all we hear about is the destruction in the end of time. But you, John, just mentioned the last time that God's people at the time were actually freed. And so the caller then is asking, is it not possible that this second coming of Planet X would free mankind from slavery that we have been in and are being subjected to?
Yes, that's what the Bible portrays in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. that is for those who would call out for mercy and call out to God for rescue will be saved. This is what God's prophet Joel stated in the book of the Old Testament, book of Joel, written around 800 BC. In chapter 2, I believe, it says that God says, I will save all who call out my name. So, yes, this is absolutely true. It's an opportunity.
So we may not then, and this is also for you, Jason, and I mm-hmm. hope you can answer this because John has given us a pretty good overview of this. If that's the case and Planet X does come around here in 2012, there may not be our total destruction, right? But maybe perhaps a new way of thinking, perhaps a freeing of mankind to the slavery. And I don't mean the slavery like in African Americans, what they went through. I mean the slavery that we are enslaved to work for other people.
It's called bureaucratic slavery.
Well, thank you. Okay. So what
work?
Do you think?
Does that work?
That works.
All right. Well, let's start right there. How's that? Boom.
Okay.
We're in the game. All right?
All right.
All right. Let us suppose free thinking, free willing, right? We didn't rehearse the show tonight, did we, guys? I didn't. I didn't
no.
with John, and nor did I with you. If everything that we've been talking about in the last month even comes true by only 25% of the worst it could be, you see? We're in big, big trouble. We can't even handle the snow right now and the ice. Atlanta shut down. LaGuardia goes down. It's like we are being kicked around like a rag doll. But nobody wants to talk about how bad it's actually getting. You see, last week we talked about a theory I have. I think you can measure this Planet X phenomenon by how many cuts, like I call it, death by a thousand cuts, or how about death by a thousand disasters? Just substitute the words, you see? It's a disaster that Atlanta's down. Hundreds of millions of dollars are now not changing hands and are stuck. Airlines are still liable for their planes and all, and they can't fly them. It's a disaster. No, that's not man-made.
All right, hold that thought, Jason. When we come back from break, we'll put you right back on. So we're coming right back after station ID.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
What makes deep sea salt from France so different? Up from the ocean depths in the south of France flow undersea rivers of pristine sea water. At high tide, the prepared salt ponds are filled with this water. Over spring and summer, processed only by ocean breezes and sunshine, the brine thickens and salt crystals float to the top. These are harvested with nets and deposited on wooden drainage flats to dry. The salt is then gathered up, packaged, and shipped around the world. This salt is much more than a box of lifeless sodium chloride. Soldiers worth their salt were once paid with this valuable commodity. It contains 78 to 84 balancing elements. This is living salt, and once you have tasted it, you will never go back to anything else. I've seen this salt in gourmet shops for $30 a pound. Get it now at 4spectrum.us for under $8 a pound. Order 10 pounds and enter the coupon code AVRSALT at checkout and save $20. Ships free to your door or call 800-581-8906. Order today.
Using your cell phone for business or staying in touch with family, your cell phone use is increasing. Use the Wave Shield, developed for ultimate cellular protection. The Wave Shield blocks, reduces, and deflects up to 97% of the radiation from entering the soft tissue of your ear. The Wave Shield, made of a patented mesh material, is proven and tested to block radiation without affecting reception. Order your Wave Shield today for only $19.95.
Did he just say $19.95? Hey, times are tough, so American Voice Radio Network is cutting the price to $17.95. That's right, $17.95 plus mailing. You can protect yourself, family, and friends from cell phone danger to your inner ear. $17.95 at theamericanvoice.com. That's the superstore at theamericanvoice.com. $17.95 plus mailing. Order now.
Listeners, we're back, and Jason was saying something, but before I let him answer that, we do have a, I think we have a caller. I'm not sure. Caller, are you there?
Yes, no, ma'am.
Okay, what is your first name? Yes, what's your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Dave from South Carolina.
All right, Dave, go ahead.
How's the connection? Can you hear me okay?
We hear you fine.
Perfectly. Okay, great. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on, and Dr. Hayes, thank you so much for hosting the show again, because I enjoyed it a lot last week when you were on. This is wonderful, because, I mean, it's so important to us. I had a couple of questions. Number one is surviving this thing depends on what part of the world you're in, I suppose. I'm about 130 miles off the coast in South Carolina in the upstate. Should we go underground or seek higher ground in the mountains?
You're at how many hundred feet above sea level?
I have to check my maps of your land. See that, but we're kind of in the foothills.
But do you know what your elevation is?
No, we're in the foothills,
though.
It's not sea level.
You're at sea level?
Well, you're in the foothills. The foothills are a good place to be.
Yes.
Yeah, but well, I'm at sea level, gentlemen. We ought to be worried about Gianni.
Well, let's
maybe
talk
we
about
are.
Gianni.
We are
let's
worried
talk about Gianni real quick, okay? Exactly how many miles inland are you, first of all, inland from the water?
25.
130 miles. Oh, Gianni, I'm sorry.
No, sir. No, we're doing two things here.
First let me go because I'm the one who's really a victim here. And you know what, Dave? I'm going to do you in a second. I am about 15 miles from the Chesapeake Bay and about 25 miles from Ocean City.
Not good.
Uh-oh.
Not good. Well, I'm sorry. I'm
Gianni,
sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Gianni, you've got some land masses in southern New Jersey, I think, or Delaware. I can't recall the map, but they may be blocking some of the tsunami waves.
Well, Delaware's above me. I'm between Delaware and the east coast of Virginia, so we're smack in the middle between the Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic Ocean.
That's not a good place to be.
Well, thank you.
Well, listen,
but you could escape.
Listen, I'm not going to mess with you, lady. Uh-uh. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think that's a good place to be. Now, I don't see that in the next 6 months. I would fear for you. Going into September, October, November of 2012. In other words, as we approach that so-called mystical, magical, Mayan, prophetic, Bible-thumping concept, you know, the end of time, December 21st, 2012, which there is a significance to talk about, by the way, can't be shoved under the carpet and poo-pooed and laughed up like UFOs, right? Oh, yeah, everybody, nobody believes in UFOs, dummy. You see?
Except for the government.
Come on now, they know better than the mock themselves, don't you think?
Yeah, I say they believe in UFOs.
Of course they do. Now,
okay, we want to get to Dave's question, so go ahead.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, great. This is great information. Gianni, I would suggest West Virginia because that's pretty close to you. I've been there before. It's very high mountains. Anyway, you know, how deep underground do you think we should go?
I think you should go to a point of safety that your instincts, that's your, listen, you sound like you're clear-headed and it sound like you're healthy as all get out, and I doubt seriously if you, sir, would find yourself on the short end, not prepared. I don't read that in you in your voice. I think you know exactly.
I have a brother
where
lives in Charleston. I'm trying to talk about this.
Oh, Charleston is a big earthquake. An earthquake danger point. Charleston, South
Carolina.
Well,
it is, John. You know, I did a whole presentation.
There could be quakes anywhere. There could be quakes anywhere.
No, but Charleston in particular has always been a very dangerous earthquake center.
Yeah, I did a whole presentation to about 400 people on the earthquake of 1886 in Charleston.
Right.
You see, we're
also, also the Cumbre Vieja.
Yes, the Cumbre Vieja. I'll explain that to you now. What you need to, we all need to do, who live on the Atlantic coast, is to monitor volcanic activity at the Cumbre Vieja volcanic island. That's Cumbre, second word, Vieja, Vieja. Monitor your volcanologist websites, volcano websites that keep track of volcanic activity around the world. Monitor these sites every couple of days or maybe twice a week, because when you see breaking news coming out of the volcanic islands, Canary Islands, the island of La Palma in the Canary Islands, just off the western coast of Africa in the Atlantic Ocean, that volcanic island, volcano, the Cumbre Vieja, has a western flank, which is estimated to have a mass of a weight of 500 billion tons. That's a half a trillion tons. That entire western flank has been separated. There's a margin of separation of about 12 feet that has existed on that west slab of the western flank ever since 1949, and they expect it to slide into the ocean in much the same way as if you put a brick on the top of a sliding board and then put a lot of grease on the sliding board. That brick will eventually slide down if the friction is reduced enough. And they feel that when that volcano begins to heat up, because there is a lot of rainwater that's trapped in the margins of the crack that separation in the flank. When a volcano heats up, that water will turn to steam very quickly, and steam, if we know, is very powerful. It will raise up and reduce the friction tremendously, such that that 500 billion ton flank will slide into the ocean. And there is a scientist named Fritz Hermann at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich, Switzerland, who has done research on it. We even have a video of his documentation. And he has conservatively estimated that when that thing slides into the water, it's called a landslide-driven tsunami. The first wave, the very first plop wave that occurs will be about the height of two Empire State Buildings. Now, of course, it'll level out after that because in deep ocean water, the tsunami wave is not very sharp. It's sort of level. And that's why ocean ships can survive tsunamis if they're deep at sea. Incidentally, here's a good thing to look for. Everybody, if you can, watch for nations sending their ships out to sea. When you see nations sending their ships out of port to sea, you know that there's danger of meteor showers or something that will cause a tsunami. And then you can take appropriate action when you see that. So that's another monitoring guideline for us, is nations around the world sending their ships out to sea. Well, anyway, the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology has estimated that the tsunami will travel at the speed of about 450 miles an hour. That's faster than a jetliner. That's sort of about two-thirds the speed of sound. It'll travel across the ocean from the western coast of Africa and reach the United States in about 8 hours. If you're asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll have no advance notice because they have no early warning systems set up. And I have been pressing and trying to get people in emergency services, operations, EMT people, and firemen in major cities along the east coast of the United States, but haven't really done a very vigorous effort at trying to unite and confederate these people into an early warning system. But these are the kind of people you want to contact, emergency medical people who care. They will rush to someone's aid in the time of danger, and firemen also, and try to tell them that we need an early warning system that will tell us when this volcano begins to heat up. We need to get people to evacuate because there will be gridlock on the roads if we only have an hour or two notice.
All right. Dave, what was your second question?
Okay. Well, you've answered a lot of my questions. I suppose it will be a combination of considering the fact that Planet X does seem to be a brown dwarf or something of that type of star instead of a planet, or something with a huge mass that is obviously spilled out a lot of the iron oxide you guys were talking about, and that's very
important. Did you study this yourself, Dave? Did you look it up?
I've studied the Colburn Bible to a good degree, and John DiNardo, I do want to know before we get off here, but I'm going to ask my question first. I do want to know your website and you too, Mr. Rand.
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
I'll go ahead and ask a question, and then when I'm done, I'll write those down. Mm-hmm. But, okay, it's a combination of and fire and water, I suppose, is what's going to happen. Our planet's going to be very disrupted, I would think. And after the situation is over, you think it's going to be an age because of production involved?
Let's look at the largest picture. What John was describing was almost directly, you know, if you just pretended like what you saw in 2012, remember when the west end of L.A. slid into the ocean? Remember that?
I do. Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Well, just switch it around. Pretend that's the Atlantic coast. What would the difference be? You see? The visual would be the same. So with that in mind, I'd like to answer that question. Okay.
All right, we're going to let Dave go because I know he wants to get off.
I'll answer it right now.
All right.
All right. Everything that you think is
time,
real
y'all.
That's happening.
All right. Go ahead, Jason.
Is real. But at the same time, if you don't understand it, you only perceive its reality when it actually touches you or smashes you or destroys you.
like a hurricane or a tornado or a wildfire or that awful, awful flooding in Australia. Do you mean to tell me that the scientists of the world don't understand exactly what's taking place? That was another death by another piece of the thousand cuts, you see? But I've been trying to talk about this now for about 3 years. All you have to do is go to the Internet. Don't believe anything that I'm saying or Joe is saying or for that matter, our host is saying. Check it out for yourself. We're not making things up. We don't write things down that haven't happened. My book is called The Return of Planet X. And if you want to get a copy, just email our host, and I'll send you guys signed copies. Now,
why don't you give out your website, Jason, before
sure.
we
it's
move on? Because I think it's important that people can go
sure.
to your site,
oh, yeah.
read about
it. I want to share
stuff.
The information. The information isn't to be, you know, locked away in a vault somewhere. That was the whole idea of writing the book and telling what was going on. It's www.returnofplanetx.com. Real simple, returnofplanetx.com, and there's a little hyphen between the T and the X. Don't forget the little hyphen. That's our secret code hyphen, okay? Now, seriously, back on topic. What we have
yeah.
to understand is
let,
that
let me,
this whole
let me ask
drama,
a question here, okay?
Pardon?
Let me ask a question, and that question is, you know, if you read the Bible says, and I know both of you guys do, you're like me. I read scripture every single day. But the Bible says that during end times that the Lord will return and that those who have not really been saved will be left here. Are you saying to me that Planet X is part of the end of the world, that the people who are going to live past that are those who aren't saved?
Let me take a stab at it. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not a seer, but I do have an opinion, and I do feel that I've researched the subject. I'm speaking my opinion from my heart. Here's what I think is happening. I think as we speak, the wheat and the chaff are being separated, slowly but surely. I'm going to go a religious quick right on you here. The decimation of the Christians in Iraq is just an example of the very next part of the seven vials being poured out. See? It started. The persecution has started. It's been going on ever since 1947. See? Now, I'm not veering off course, but I'm going to answer your question the way I see it. I think we are living right now, this moment, this second, together. We are in the end times. And it certainly has a religious connotation and a religious spiritual feel to it. I think it's right. I'm vibrating to it. I'm very discriminate in who I am and what I believe and my life as I practice it. I do believe that against all odds, we are going to experience what could very well be the second coming of the Christian Christ child. Now, I think that's only part of it. What has Planet X got to do with that? That's what I would like to talk about. Planet X, to me, is what we call the heavy leveler of our solar system. Listen, every solar system is balanced, perfectly, perfectly balanced. I'm going to jump right into the 12-planet theory. I believe there were originally 12 planets. The Sitchin theories are correct. There were originally 12 planets. There was no asteroid belt. There were three suns. Three. The sun we see every day, Mother Sol, was the original sun that was part of the creation process for the solar system. No sun, no solar system. What happened was that there was a third, more giant, powerful star, a black dwarf, like a black and blue or bluish-black dwarf. A very powerful, powerful magnetic type of sun that was out positioned out in the hinterland, like billions of miles away, just parked there, actually controlling our sun. A pivot point, you see. Because our sun and our solar system rotates in its own orbital cycle around what we believe is ultimately this giant blue-black star. Now, they had a little baby sun, so there were three suns in the solar system. Mama Sol, the big dark blue giant, the pivotal magnetic force to hold the sun in place, and then the little baby sun that probably was going to have a function, because we believe that there were probably at least three of the inner solar system planets, Earth, Venus, and Mars for sure. Those three. Our little fiery planet, right there, Mercury, she was probably damaged along with four other planets. So let's start there. I can do this real fast. Well, planets 4.5 to 5 billion years ago, a large piece of Earth, of Earth-bound and solar system-bound rock came smashing through the plane of the ecliptic of the solar system. Imagine, if you will, you've been to the planetariums. Just imagine, you've seen the images. There's the sun in the center, and you see all the planets in perfect rotation, and you notice that they're all moving in a counterclockwise. Whenever you see a display of what's known as the plane of the ecliptic of our solar system, it's always flat, it's always 2D, but it's always rotating in a counterclockwise motion. That is extremely important to understand the dynamic of what is happening. Not only does our Earth, in synchronicity with all the other planets and all the asteroids and everything, everything in our solar system rotates in a counterclockwise motion. The sun spins in a counterclockwise motion, not clockwise. And so anything that would invade the plane of the ecliptic of that perfect order, all rotating together, do you realize how complex a computer program it must have been to create a sun that controls all of 12 planets and all their moons and the gas giants and turning these planets one at a time into living entity things? Something.
Okay, you got to move on, Bowdy. So,
all right.
You know,
you got to understand what happened. There was a terrible disaster. Planets were damaged. The little baby sun got knocked out into space. Big piece of the space debris hit it head on, spinning it out into John's 3,600 to 4,000-year cyclical orbit. So that's what and who Wormwood is, or the so-called Planet X. It is, in fact, a brown dwarf star, possibly the size of Saturn, but at least 60 times as mass density as is Saturn. You see? Now,
okay.
If it's true, and it's affecting our solar system, remember, everything that affects the sun affects everything in our solar system. Everything. The sun belches, we feel it. The sun cools, we feel it. Earth has had ice ages. That's what's caused all these. Our Earth is not suffering from either global warming. It is not suffering from global cooling. It is simply a very confused living entity that's getting misdirections from its mother, the sun. What's affecting the sun is the mass and gravity of this incoming celestial body. Thus, Planet X, or what we believe is Wormwood, the Wormwood of the Bible, if you go to Revelation chapter 8, verse 11, and the name of the star was Wormwood. Everything
right.
In chapter 8, you were asking about its relevance to biblical prophecy. Just read chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and you will hear and understand exactly what happened with Moses as it related to the changing of the planet every so many periodic years. In this case, the 3,600. And it was the same then as it is now. So what happened was, John gave us a revelation of what happened then, and it's happening again right now.
Okay, now, let me throw this out.
We're there right now. We're there.
Okay, Jason, let me throw this out to you and John. NASA has not, other than that article you showed us back, not showed us, but it was dated back in 1983 or 84, John. Other than that, John and Jason, there has been no true confirmation of Planet X.
Oh, now, yes, there has.
I know there are some people out there, like the two of you, who have actually studied it.
There has been
confirmation. Let me finish. Guys, let me finish. I know that there are some of you out there who have studied it, and I know that, John, you in particular have a science background like I do. But I am saying, where then, for my listeners, can they go for absolute proof to say, you know what, John and Jason are right. We need to move. And, where can they go for this confirmation?
Here is the absolute proof. Okay, not only the New York Times article that I have in front of me from January 30th, 1983, when they launched the infrared astronomical satellite, which was specifically dedicated to sighting this one celestial object, Planet X. Scientists, astronomers had seen its effects, its gravitational plucking on the outer planets for nearly 200 years. So they decided now it's time for us to actually sight this thing because we know it is there. There's one proof right there. Even before they launched the infrared astronomical satellite, IRAS, they had given us proof right in the New York Times from NASA to this article that it definitely exists, and they're going up to look for it. And what they had said in this article, I'm going to skip ahead and show you more proof. They said, all we have to do is name it. We're so sure, this is NASA scientists, we're so sure of its existence that all that's left to do is to name it. This is even before they launched the infrared astronomical satellite. Let me just read a little bit from this article real quickly because this is going to nail it down. Years later, Pluto was detected by Clyde Tombaugh working at Lowell Observatory in Arizona. Several astronomers, however, suspected it might not be the Planet X of prediction, that is Pluto. Subsequent observations proved them right. Pluto was too small to change the orbits of Uranus and Neptune. The combined mass of Pluto and its recently discovered satellite Charon is only one-fifth that of Earth's moon. Recent calculations by the United States Naval Observatory have confirmed the orbital perturbations exhibited by Uranus and Neptune, which Dr. Thomas C. Van Flandern, an astronomer at the observatory, says could be explained by a single undiscovered planet. He and colleague Dr. Robert Harrington, parenthetically, I say that many people believe Dr. Harrington was murdered. He and Dr. Harrington calculate that the 10th planet should be 2 to 5 times more massive than Earth and have a highly elliptical orbit that takes it some 5 billion miles beyond that of Pluto, hardly next door, but still within the gravitational influence of the Sun. So here they're saying that this thing exists. Some astronomers have reacted cautiously to 10th planet predictions. They remember the long, futile quest for the, et cetera. I'm going to skip over. According to Dr. Ray T. Reynolds, Dr. Ray T. Reynolds of the Ames Research Center in Mountain View, California, are so sure, quote, this is Dr. Reynolds of the Ames Research Center, astronomers are so sure of the 10th planet, they think there's nothing left but to name it. At a scientific meeting, okay, they went on to say they believe it's a brown dwarf star. Now, they launched it, the infrared astronomical satellite, to nail it down, to actually get photographs of this Planet X in January of 1983. And during 1983, the infrared astronomical satellite, IRAS, had accomplished its mission, and it came back with success. And I have in front of me the subsequent final discovery news from the second largest newspaper in the United States, the Washington Post, which I photographed, photocopied, and put onto the Internet. Here's the article from the front page, December 30th. Then we're going from January 30th, New York Times, to December 30th of that same year, 1983, in the Washington Post, titled, Mystery Heavenly Body Discovered, Possibly as Large as Jupiter, by Thomas O'Toole, Washington Post staff writer. quote, a heavenly body, possibly as large as...
John, we've got to go to break.
Okay.
So, you know, we've got lots of things to cover, so gentlemen, we'll be right back. Listeners, don't forget, hit Talk Stream Live, please, and we're coming right back.
Americans for Immigration Control is a leading national organization dedicated to reasonable levels of legal immigration and effective enforcement to stop illegal immigration. With more than 250,000 members and supporters nationwide, we are an effective voice for immigration reform. AIC stands up in Washington for the views of most Americans on immigration. We are the leaders in stopping recent legislation to reward 10 million or more illegal aliens with legal status and eventual citizenship. The late Georgia Congressman Charlie Norwood had this to say about us. AIC has earned a reputation among members of Congress as one of the most active and responsive advocacy groups in the field of immigration. Join AIC today. For more information, go to our website, immigrationcontrol.com. That's immigrationcontrol.com or call 540-468-2023. That's 540-468-2023.
Want to know if your kids are experimenting or abusing drugs and alcohol? Then test them. American Drug Testing Consultants offers all types of in-home drug testing kits. Our most popular is the Parents Program, which contains an alcohol swab, a detailed manual on everything you want to know about drugs, a family pledge, a 24-hour phone helpline, and other literature. The included drug test detects for amphetamine, methamphetamine, THC, opiates, barbiturates, benzodiazepines, PCP, methadone, ecstasy. Results are given in the privacy of your home in 5 minutes. You can also buy the 10-panel drug test separately from the entire kit. Contact American Drug Testing Consultants at 410-543-0448 or go to americandtc.com. That's americandtc.com or email info@americandtc.com. We ship globally.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
What makes deep sea salt from France so different? Up from the ocean depths in the south of France flow undersea rivers of pristine sea water. At high tide, the prepared salt ponds are filled with this water. Over spring and summer, processed only by ocean breezes and sunshine, the brine thickens and salt crystals float to the top. These are harvested with nets and deposited on wooden drainage flats to dry. The salt is then gathered up, packaged, and shipped around the world. This salt is much more than a box of lifeless sodium chloride. Soldiers worth their salt were once paid with this valuable commodity. It contains 78 to 84 balancing elements. This is living salt, and once you have tasted it, you will never go back to anything else. I've seen this salt in gourmet shops for $30 a pound. Get it now at 4spectrum.us for under $8 a pound. Order 10 pounds and enter the coupon code AVRSALT at checkout and save $20. Ships free to your door or call 800-581-8906. Order today.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed
designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio. Welcome to the New World Order Disorder, a weekly broadcast hosted by Dr. Gianni Hayes. Stay tuned. Things are about to get interesting.
We are back, and I have with me both John DiNardo, who is a expert, who is an expert on Planet X, as well as Jason Rand, who has written a book on Planet X, and he will give out his website and the title of his book again. And as soon as I get a copy of that, which he's taking care of.
It's on the way. It's on the way.
Then we will get him back on to talk about the book. Both gentlemen are talking about Planet X, and I'm throwing questions at them. I welcome you to throw questions out to them as well. And you can certainly go to the chat room and ask questions there. But the toll-free number, and you don't have to pay for this when you call and talk to Jason and John, is 1-800-596-8191, 1-800-596-8191. And listeners, please, if you know somebody who can sponsor me to continue this show, boy, I would really appreciate that. Just let Frank know. He's the owner and producer of the American Voice Radio, www.americanvoiceradio.com. And you could pay him directly because or make donations directly to him because I don't get paid a penny for this. This is my ministry. So if you can help, I would appreciate it. You know, you can be a sponsor and advertise, sell books, sell products, sell services. And, you know, at the same time, you're helping me get the word out. So, Jason, I think...
Gianni, regarding sponsorship, I have an idea real quickly. If you can get someone out there to sell car covers that have been padded internally, these car covers can be carried in people's trunks and they can be slipped over the car as soon as these huge, massive, incredible hailstorms begin. They've been occurring across the country as a result of the tremendous meteorological disturbances caused by the approach of Planet X. Hailstones the size of baseballs and softballs. If there's going to be a tremendous demand for padded car covers.
Well, whoever makes that, John, can you get them to consider doing it?
They're not, as far as I know, they make car covers. Nobody has padded them, but someone can pad them and be your sponsor. And I know that when people's cars are smashed to bits by hailstorms on the highway, people are going to be carrying them in their trunks. There's going to be a tremendous demand for padded car covers.
Okay. Now, let me ask both you gentlemen something. I know that you were giving us proof of what the two of you believe that Planet X is coming, and I really appreciate that. And I know you recited the 1983 article that appeared twice in the same year of the New York Times, John. But let me just play devil's advocate here. That was 27 years ago, that article, almost 28 years ago. So things could have changed. And perhaps, Jason, understand, I'm playing devil's advocate here. That doesn't mean I necessarily believe. But could not things have changed? Because would we not be hearing more about this on the radio that, ladies and gentlemen, we have out there a brown dwarf star that is nearing Earth, and if it gets so many miles near Earth, I mean,
well,
how do we know you guys are really on target?
I think we're less than 7 to 9 months away from the visual that the southernmost part of the planet will begin now to very clearly see it and photograph it. You can photograph it right now. There are hundreds and thousands of pictures out there. Why it's being so discreet, part of it is the mystique of it. Part of it is strict, I believe, government control. That's what that whole South Pole you know, huge infrared magnetic telescopes were installed. They've been photographing this for a long time. I think that they'll just gradually slide into the story. There's no need to shock anyone. Everybody already knows there's something wrong. Everybody already knows that all of this is coming. All those disaster movies, they were all designed to walk us down this beautiful path. So, well, you could expect this, and you could expect knowing, and then tsunamis, and then 2012, and then, whoa, it all ended. See? Because,
that's right. They're,
because chances are, guys and girls, we're about ready to see a very, very rough period. Now, it doesn't have to be as rough as what happened to John Cusack in 2012. I think that's, I don't think it's going to be nearly that extreme. I do think there's going to be a period, a very serious, maybe a 7 to 8 day period of global earthquakes. Sometime around August, September, October, maybe November of 2011. That'll set the stage for December 21st. About a month before that date, we should have, if we're going to have a bad time, it has to be then, because that's when, on December 21st, 2012, is when we are now at that perfectly balanced point of our solar system facing the very center of the Milky Way galaxy.
All right, Jason, give up.
We're coming into an alignment period way beyond mankind's understanding, comprehension, or power to control.
All right, Jason, let me intercept here.
Yes.
Can you give out the title of your book and website again? And then, John, I would like you to give out the website where we can find you. And I know it's on Sheldon's, and you could give that out. So, Jason, do yours real quick, and I'll skip over to John.
Everything that we're talking about tonight is in our book. It's called The Return of Planet X. Website, www.returnofplanetx.com. It's a fun trip. It doesn't cost you anything. You'll learn more in 20 minutes on my website than you will have reading three or four other books. Okay, I will sign and autograph any book you wish, and
okay.
I'll work something
Thanks,
out
Jason.
With you. Now, I want to do this.
Wait, let me let John give
All right,
his.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, everyone recalls the famous axiom, I have seen the light of day. Well, just remember the light of day, and then add the words radio show, thelightofdayradioshow.com. When you go there, near the top of the page, you'll see a word in a column that says Planet X. Just click on that. It'll take you to an entire Planet X page. And my material, along with other Planet X researchers, will be on that page. So just the Light of Day Radio Show.com.
Okay.
Click on Planet X.
All right. Now,
he sends out the hottest emails you wouldn't believe.
Let me do this now. Let me ask you gentlemen something. I know you have an agenda, but I do too. And that is because I have questions from listeners. What are the chances that a good majority of people are going to survive this? Or do you think that this is coming so close it's going to be the total destruction of Earth?
No. I'm going to do that one real quick, and then John can add. No, I believe we'll probably lose about a third. If it's bad, we're going to lose about a third.
So we're going to lose approximately 2 billion people.
Approximately.
Okay, John?
You lost 295,000 people in Indonesia in 2004 in 45 seconds. So
right.
You just do the math.
Okay.
Okay.
John,
what
do you think?
In the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ has shown himself, and many people may not believe that he is God, but everyone, I think, will agree that he has supernatural powers. I know that he is God, the Son of God. But for those who don't, he has supernatural powers to predict the future. This has been shown because in the book of Revelation, he tells us things that are unfolding right now. 2,000 years ago, he gave these to his apostle John in a vision. Okay, based upon his supernatural power, he says in the Matthew 24, chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, he repeats it three times for emphasis. This will be the very worst destruction of all the past catastrophes, this will be the very worst. And if it were not for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved alive.
Okay.
And this is reiterated over and over again in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, numerous places, chapter 13, chapter 24 of Isaiah, chapter 2 of Joel,
the book of Amos, and Ezekiel.
So okay, it's unequivocal. This is from a prophet of God, and that's what I believe, that this is going to be the worst. But the good thing is that you can be one of those who are saved.
Guys, I'm the host here. You got to let me talk.
Okay.
So here's the next question then. How close is this planet coming to Earth, and can this planet actually change its orbit and not come as close as it is? I mean, I don't think this planet is going to... Brown dwarf star planet X is going to hit Earth, from my understanding, but it's going to come close. Can it change? How close, and can it change?
Okay, look. Let's not distort.
Make it short, guys.
Right. Well, let's not distort this beyond reality. This is a large celestial body that does not come slicing through the solar system. It comes arching up and underneath. The southernmost portion, well, it all depends on the okay. When she comes up, she's coming up from the southern hemisphere area, and it loops up back and over the sun. Never comes through the solar system. It's still many millions and millions and millions of miles away, but it's so powerful that its electromagnetic fields are already and have been affecting our sun. It's coming. We all know it's coming. It's going to be possibly rough. Maybe not. We do not have a science book on brown dwarf stars. We've never seen one. We've heard about them. They're recorded in history. And you can read about it in Chapter 8 and all the verses in Chapter 8 of the Book of Revelation. But I'm telling you that it could be a glancing blow. The one that hit during the time of Moses was probably not the worst thing that could have happened, because you'll notice that the land that they were on did not slide into the ocean. They were subject to these problems. The Nile was rising and dropping. The whole point is, it's physically real. We're seeing it happen. We're experiencing the disasters. All the signs are there. All the gossip on the internet, all the headlines, all the Washington Post stuff, and NASA cites this, and all of this, it's all part of what I believe is an elegantly, beautifully orchestrated series of brilliant manipulation of the world by them. We're right back to the guys in black and all of that stuff, all this conspiracy stuff, you know, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them. It's all part of it. Every single thing that's happening was destined to happen from the beginning. Man directed it, man wrote the story, and mankind lived it. We have brought ourselves to nearly the point of extinction, human extinction. And then we throw in Planet X, and then we throw in terrorism, and then nut jobs down in Tucson.
Okay.
And it all begins to fall apart.
I'd like to answer the question about as to whether or not this can change. No, it cannot. This thing is so massive. It is believed by scientists and has been believed by scientists before they were muzzled, according to the reports I showed you in the from NASA 27 years ago, that this thing is a brown dwarf star. Now, a brown dwarf star, by definition, is at least 1,000 Earth masses. When you have a celestial mass that large, it is being attracted, is being pulled in by the gravitational force of our sun, which has a mass of about 1/3 of a million Earth masses. Therefore, its trajectory is inexorable. It is unchangeable. It is fixed on its focus, which is the sun. No, it cannot change its course. It has never changed its course in past incursions into the solar system every 36 and a half centuries, going back all the way to 9,000 BC. The reason it doesn't change is because it's a comet on a cometary orbit. But here's the difference. Here's where the variable comes in. When it comes through the solar system, it's like, let me give you a picture of a
comet. John, don't make this technical, please.
I'm going to try to make it visual, so that people can see it. You have a big lake, okay? In the center of the lake is a big, huge light. That's the sun. You have this big porpoise comes up You know, you ever see a porpoise come up from under the water and shoots up on up above and flies up in the air and then plunges back down? Well, this porpoise comes up and goes over the orbital paths of trying to go over the sun, but before it gets over the sun, it has to go over all the other planets. Now, we are like a boat revolving around this big light, this big center light, the sun, on the surface of the lake. Where will we be in that circular travel around the sun at the point in time when this thing flies overhead, over our orbital, the path of our boat? Well, if we just happen to be unlucky, that thing could be going over our heads when our boat is going right below it. Or if we're very fortunate, that thing, we could be on the farthest distance away on that circle when this thing comes over. But there's no change in its trajectory. It's coming up between this orbital path of Jupiter and the asteroid belt, just as it has done throughout millennia. It's coming up there, and it's cruising over the sun, and it's coming back down, plunging back down into that lake and back again. So we could be lucky, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest prophet ever, tells us this is going to be the worst. So we're going to be at that wrong point in our orbit where we're going to get hit real bad, and only a few people will survive. But the good news is you can definitely be a survivor. You can be untouched, unscathed, if you call out to God.
Now let me talk, guys. Okay, so John and Jason, how close will this come to Earth? And make it give us an analogy that we can actually understand. Is it going to be as close as, say...
I've been told 15 million miles, 15, 20 million miles.
And what does that mean in Earth? What does that mean in galaxy mileage? I mean,
it doesn't mean anything in galaxy.
15 miles is a heck of a long way.
It doesn't mean anything in galaxy mileage when you consider the size of it, as Jason says. Even though it's 15, 20 million miles at its closest passage to Earth, it's still going to wreak tremendous disaster and damage because it has a very powerful electromagnetic field, which locks up with Earth's magnetic field and puts a torque on planet Earth and rotates it, wrenches it.
So that's only one aspect of it.
And then it's got the gravitational pull. So
there you go.
It's got a double whammy. The gravitational pull and the electromagnetic influences are going to wreak havoc on this Earth. But again, don't be afraid. Call out to God. Keep him in your heart, and he will supernaturally protect you. He guarantees that throughout the scriptures, throughout.
Okay.
From the Old Testament to the New.
Let's go on. Jason, in your analysis of all of this, you think this is going to first affect, Western Europe and then the United States, or how do you foresee this?
Well, I've got a very interesting different type of theory. Okay, let me ask you a question. Okay. Let us assume that we believe in John's scenario, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I'm not jumping on this religiously. Let's assume all that is correct.
Well, I mean, this was supposed to be part of a religious conversation. So
well, it is, but what I'm saying is I don't want to pin my argument on that because it'll be self-evident as to what the source is, okay? Now, I believe that what's going to happen is if you had the power to control the destiny of planet Earth and you had this huge celestial body under your control, and you knew what it could or couldn't do, then you should, I would assume, you wouldn't want to totally destroy the planet. You don't have to totally destroy it. You really don't. Look, all you have to do is effectively have two or three serious global earthquakes all within one day, let's say 24-hour period, you lose one or two or three, four major cities on major continents, and you basically shut the planet down. You save it. You can't launch missiles. If there's no electricity, can't make war if you can't build bullets. Now, I would like to think that in the midst of all of that, God's chosen few will probably be evacuated, what you call the rapture business. I believe in some form of rapture.
Wait a minute, you believe that, Jason, let me get this straight.
And it's going to be by ETs and flying saucers. So now there's the pivot point that I might lose a lot of people, and I don't mean to.
You're going to lose a ton of people, because I think you have people all along with you. But when you said ETs, I think you just lost a huge...
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think,
who or what do you think an ETB could be composed of? Could it be an angel?
Fallen
the Bible
angel.
Talks all the time about people appearing out of nowhere, looking
fallen
very
angel.
Strange to people on the earth. That sounds
Satan.
Like angels
well,
to me.
John is saying fallen angels, so he's saying these are not
angels. No, John, we're going to debate that now. I can attest to benevolent angels, believe me.
If we want to debate that.
There are benevolent angels.
Yes,
but these are the ones.
Jason.
Yes.
I don't want to debate that right now, okay?
I understand, but I have to look at it from a much broader perspective. I can't be talking about demons and angels and not understand what extraterrestrials and this whole ultra-terrestrial business is all about. I studied it for a number of years.
I'm going to give the two of you a total of 2 minutes to discuss this.
Okay, who wants to start? I'll start.
Either one.
I'll start. Look, all of it's connected. Every single bit of it's connected. The scriptures and the prophecies and reality today and the earth changes and all this intrigue and the drama and the thievery of the planet and the destruction. Haiti was real. New Orleans was real. Northridge 94 was real. What I'm saying is, open up your eyes. It's so simple. Look at the facts, read the stats, go to the internet, sign up for the earthquake thing, watch hurricanes, and you'll suddenly have to say, well, maybe it is pretty bad. Poor Australia. I don't want to go there again. My heart's out to those people. Do you realize it's the size? I think they said of California and Texas together, those two big states are devastated. They're underwater.
And Pakistan was flooded out.
And same thing. Don't you people understand that there's something really, really going wrong across the planet with its environment, its weather, and its non-control of Mother Nature? Now, you add everything else to that, like I said before the break, and now we've got this terrible tragedy, again, to deal with. We're coming apart at the seams.
Okay,
now is when
we
need to know who we are, and we need to take control of what we are, where we are, and why we are. Because if disaster or some terrible thing should strike us, it'll be over in a second.
All right, John, your turn.
Well, regarding these beings, God tells us there was, in the book of Revelation, he's telling us about what's going to happen in the future at the end of the world, which
well,
is,
I want to hear
you know,
what you have to say about, and, John, listen to me. I want to hear what you have to say regarding Jason's comment about ETs.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. In the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus prophesies that, he tells us that there is will be war in heaven between Michael and his angels and the dragon, that's Satan, and his angels. And Michael prevailed, and the dragon and his angels were cast down to earth. And,
right.
And woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, for he has but a short time. This is from the greatest prophet ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his track record is flawless. Okay,
yes,
so we're going to have demonic.
Yeah, okay, wait
a minute. Let me
finish. Totally agree.
Demonic spirits
there
coming
is a
down.
Demonic presence.
And what they're doing, we're seeing people being influenced demonically, right. And it will continue that way. However, the Spirit of God will also be drawing many people, and what we'll have is a very sharp polarization between good and bad.
Yep.
Because of the spirits, the demonic spirits, vying and rivaling with the God and his angels.
I think there will be a great upliftment of not only spirit but conscience. I think that there will be millions and millions and millions
of people evacuated.
I really do. I honestly do.
Jason, do you believe what John believes, that these could be fallen angels?
Some of them might be, but will be
ETs.
Some of them might be, but the whole point is, let's not dwell on negative, as yet unidentified angels of the devil. Look, evil's out there. No question, evil's out there.
We can leave it at that. We don't have to get into a sharp discussion about it.
We've got to take a break. We're coming right back to the break before. We'll be right back.
makes deep sea salt from France so different? Up from the ocean depths in the south of France flow undersea rivers of pristine sea water. At high tide, the prepared salt ponds are filled with this water. Over spring and summer, processed only by ocean breezes and sunshine, the brine thickens and salt crystals float to the top. These are harvested with nets and deposited on wooden drainage flats to dry. The salt is then gathered up, packaged, and shipped around the world. This salt is much more than a box of lifeless sodium chloride. Soldiers worth their salt were once paid with this valuable commodity. It contains 78 to 84 balancing elements. This is living salt, and once you have tasted it, you will never go back to anything else. I've seen this salt in gourmet shops for $30 a pound. Get it now at 4spectrum.us for under $8 a pound. Order 10 pounds and enter the coupon code AVRSALT at checkout and save $20. Ships free to your door or call 800-581-8906. Order today.
There are 9 kinds of water: hard water, raw water, boiled water, soft water, rain water, snow water, filtered water, deionized water, and distilled water. Only one of these kinds of water is good for you. Distilled water is water which has been turned into vapor so that all its impurities are left behind. Then, by condensing, it is turned back to pure water. It is the only water which is pure. The only water free from all impurities. The choice is clear. Dr. Alan E. Bannock. Order your tabletop water distiller for $139.99. Postpaid, it comes with everything you need to get pure distilled water. Go to superstore.theamericanvoice.com. That's superstore.theamericanvoice.com. Order now.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
We're back, and I have two great guests on. I have John DiNardo and Jason Rand, and typically we get into debates, but I do have a question. First, before I ask my question, so guys, don't go into any debate over this, I'm just going to ask you that a caller called into my producer and said, please give out your information more slowly so they can write it down. So, Jason, going to you, I just have title of your book again and your website, and then John will do you, and then I'm going to ask a question.
Okay, real quick, the website is www.returnofplanetx.com, little hyphen between the T and the X. If you'd like to get a book, give me a call. You call me on my cell phone, 901-336-9660. You will talk to me. I'll work out something in a book for you, and you can actually press me with a personal question if it's relevant, okay?
Sounds good. Now, Jason, let me ask you something.
It's called Return of Planet X. It's a beautiful book, 342 pages. It's everything that we're talking about. Every single topic we've talked about is well discussed and explained in the book. Okay?
Jason, do you have a discount if anybody calls in and said, I listen to Gianni's show and I'd like a copy of your book?
I'll take $5 off the cost of the book, and I'll work out a really inexpensive shipping thing. Or maybe I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pay for the shipping myself.
Wow.
Okay, I mean, that gives you another $6.50 back.
I have the book. It's an excellent book.
And yours is on the way, by the way. Yours is on the way.
Yes.
But I'm saying, John never sent me a book.
No,
I don't have a book.
It's all signed. It's on its way to you, dear.
I have Jason's book.
He's talking about your book, Jason.
Yeah, I wanted to plug his book. It's an excellent book.
Well, yeah, I have been doing that. But, John, let's hear about your you are again on the website.
Okay. The Light of Day. TheLightOfDayRadioShow.com. TheLightOfDayRadioShow.com. Near the top, click on Planet X, and it will take you to a voluminous Planet X page.
Yeah, Sheldon does a great job with that, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Okay, now let me ask the two. Oh, I've got to give out mine. And it's you can get me at either AmericanVoiceRadio.com, which has all my information when you go to the guest, or you can certainly get me at my Christian Patriot site, which is www.thenazarzine.com, or creative-services.biz, and from there you can jump off to all different things, my books and whatever. Okay, now, Jason and John, you two are experts here, so let me ask you this question. I have been reading in many places now, and some of these things that I'm reading attribute this to the millions of dying fish or dead fish, as well as the coots that have died, as well as the blackbirds and other birds that are dying or have fallen, that, and I don't know if this is true, so I want to ask you two experts. I have read that the poles have already begun shifting towards Russia. What do you say?
Okay, I'll jump in real quick. Out of Yahoo, 1-8-2011, number of days ago, the headline is, Earth's Magnetic Pole Shift Screws Up Runway at Florida Airport. What happened was in the capsule, it was 3 degrees off. The compass line was 3 degrees off the signs. So they had to completely electronically reprogram all the signs because the planes were landing short of the runways. So something's causing that to happen. Now, what if the birds have gotten screwed up by some kind of an electromagnetic shift in the poles that they navigate by?
That's what I believe, too.
You see? It may not be mankind caused. Here we go again. I'm not going to take the blame for the birds dying.
Jason,
I didn't kill them.
Jason, it has happened around the world, and that indicates to me that this is not a man-made phenomenon.
It has happened in Sweden, Italy, China,
it's happened in South America, all over the U.S. There's no way the U.S. government could have done this all over the world in all these countries, killing fish and birds. So it must be
the other argument is that it could be a scalar laser weapon technology being tested, or that accidentally misfired.
Not on such a worldwide scale.
Right.
That's why I believe it's a shift in the Earth's magnetic field. It's a surmisal. It's not proven, but we're going to see it, I think, played out more and more convincingly over the coming weeks and months. This is a magnetic pole shift.
Absolutely. Now, once again, that's only one symptom. There are a lot more other symptoms that we have to keep an eye on, you see. Are the poles going to, even assuming the electromagnetic poles shift, we still have to deal with the structure and the rotation and how the Earth will eventually settle. But you see, we're way ahead of the game. We're assuming worst-case disaster, we're all going to die. Listen, if you have a pole shift, you are going to lose about 95% of the population. You have a major pole shift, like with John Cusack in 2012, you will lose three-quarters or more of the world's population. Okay, I don't think that's going to happen. Like I said, you don't have to destroy the planet. Then you got to rebuild it. So if I owned the planet and controlled it, I was unhappy with the inhabitants, all I had to do was shake them up a little bit. Shut them down. Earthquake them. Give them something for their money. A little bit, you know. Cripple a couple of major cities. Take out some big airports. Shut down the power grids on all the continents. No power, no nothing. You're back to caveman days. Well, not that bad, but it ain't going to be pretty. Okay?
Gianni, I'd like to play just a clip from some very important speech that could be extremely illuminating.
Well, how long is it, John?
Just a few minutes.
Okay, I'm going to time this.
Okay.
This is from the book, The Greatest Story Never Told, page 83. The land, that was Egypt, was in great affliction. Evil fell upon us. There was a great upheaval. There was such a tempest that neither men nor gods could see the faces of those beside them. End of quote. That's dark. Darkness. So that you couldn't even see someone sitting right next to you or standing or laying next to you. Other cultures have recorded great cataclysms about ancient Egypt that it struck that nation as well as their own. The same book, The Greatest Story Never Told, page 83, had this to say, quote, an exceedingly strong wind endured 7 days. On the fourth, fifth, and sixth day, the darkness was so dense that they could not stir from their places. The darkness was of such a nature that it could not be dispelled by artificial means. The light of the fire was either extinguished by a violent storm, or else it was made invisible and swallowed up in the density of the darkness. Nothing could be discerned. None were able to speak or hear.
John. Okay, that's it. Now, let me interject something here to both of you. Do you think in any way that HAARP has any influence in not only the dead birds and dead fish and other dead animals, but having something to do with the earthquakes and the tsunamis and various stuff like that?
Yes, HAARP can generate earthquakes from what I understand. I'm not an expert on it. But the magnitude, it's the magnitude of these events that will allow us to distinguish, to determine whether it is HAARP or the effects of Planet X. When we see earthquakes that have thousands of earthquakes that have been occurring much more severely and much more frequently over the last 20 years, you know that it's not HAARP because it's a continuous upswing in the number and the ferocity of these earthquakes all over the world.
How about this, John? How about HAARP could certainly frustrate it if they wanted to see that? The natural earth changes would make a great cover for HAARP to do what they do, you think?
I agree. I think that's a real feasibility issue.
Well, I'm not saying that it is. Don't get
like
me wrong. I didn't say that is the case.
It's like Batman and Robin. I mean, HAARP is Robin and Planet X is Batman.
Yes, back
so,
and forth.
So,
oh, yeah.
If you can say it's HAARP, you're looking at the minor figure, the minor character in this play when you say that it's HAARP.
Let me take a point here. Number one, if it keeps escalating the way it is, game over. It's done. We're there. We're in big, big, deep trouble. I'm more concerned about holding the social fabric of the planet together long enough for the planet to decide how bad it wants to shake itself. See? Now, I'm not making light of it. What I'm saying is, I think that we still have 8, 9, 10, maybe even 11 months of somewhat near sanity of survival before things get really bad. Because once there's one major, we lose one city. Let's say there's a huge earthquake that takes out London. Let's just say London. Unexpected. Down it went. You would see such a shift in the consciousness of this planet in so many seconds. And it may be enough to bring the planet to a halt. I believe something that terrible could happen. Or God forbid we lose Japan. What if all the predictions and all the prophecies, they all call for the Japanese islands to disappear? I hate to say that on the radio. It's out there. Just research it. It's called for. They're overdue.
Okay, Jason,
and they get lots and
I
lots
started
of
to ask you a question.
And they have lots and lots of volcanoes.
Jason, I asked you a question earlier, and I don't think you either got a chance to answer it or you got off track.
Go.
And I can understand that. The question was, in your mind, and John, you can certainly weigh in on this, do you believe that when Planet X nears us, that the first initial effects That's redundant, but the first effects will start in Western Europe, or it's going to start somewhere else. And then
Indonesia.
How will things consecutively go until December 21st, 2012?
Well, Jason,
go ahead and answer, and then I'll ask John. We don't have a
lot
of time.
Well, it's coming from both sectors, but right now Indonesia is undergoing a lot of stress.
The entire
Every day
southern
there's
hemisphere.
Something going on there, and it's not good.
Okay, yes. How do you think? You're saying China is first.
No, Indonesia.
Indonesia. Okay, so Indonesia
Australia.
Is first.
Look what's happening in Australia.
Not going to affect the
Look what's
Asian...
happening in Australia. That's partly Indonesia.
The southern hemisphere will get whacked because it's coming
right.
up from below the southern
that
skies,
right.
below the South Pole.
That's what I wanted to say.
Under the skirt, under the skirts of our
yep.
ecliptic plane.
Yep.
So the southern hemisphere will get whacked first.
Yep.
And it is already. And do you know what? What's the first precursor sign? Massive flooding. Because this is what the ancients told in Zechariah Sitchin's book. The ancient Mesopotamian texts say the very first signs are massive flooding and inundations. That's exactly what we're getting. Pakistan, the entire nation flooded out last year. Australia, the entire nation flooded out right now.
So let's assume that we're there. It's happening, just like John's talking about. I'm going to keep jumping in here. I believe that we've got about, like I said, 8 to 13 months to get it together. Get preparations. Where are you living? Either move inland. Understand, if this all happens, and it's all tied into the one-world government collapse, and all the money goes, and they clamp down martial laws, and all about the concentration camps, and then you get all about,
Jason,
the, about the government control and the shots and the army, and it's
Armageddon. Jason, I don't want to be rude, but please, let's talk about what people can do to protect themselves. I'm going to get an inflatable raft, okay?
Okay.
That's one thing. I want to get one of those suits. You people have to think about what would you use if your town got flooded. You're going to need a boat. You're going to need to protect your basement. You're going to need to get your valuables out of the basement quickly. So you have to think about all the things. Pretend that a flood is coming and start preparing for it. And then, you know, prepare likewise for the windstorms. What would you do to safeguard your roof from windstorms, which we know are coming? And the first thing they do, according to the Weather Channel, is when they get up around 80, 90 miles an hour, they blow the roof right off the house. Now, when that roof gets blown off, the rain comes in and inundates your house. Your house is destroyed by the rains because it has no roof. What you do is you get this bead. You can go to Home Depot or any building supply store and get these glue guns. It's like a caulking gun. And you just run a bead of glue along the rafter, the vertical.
Okay, John.
Rafters inside your attic.
John. I don't want to interrupt you, but you changed the conversation from what I was on.
Okay,
and that
I'm sorry.
Conversation was, I asked you gentlemen to tell us how this is going to unfold. The only thing that you said, and you were very direct about that, John, and I appreciate that, was that it was going to come from the southern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you two gentlemen to continue that discussion on where does it go next? What will we see happening? Is it going to continue from where it already left off and then hit other things? Is it going to stop where it already hit?
You know, the southern hemisphere, and then when it comes up through the ecliptic, it's going to hit the northern hemisphere. That's us. That's the United States. That's China. That's Europe. So we're going to get the same inundations as they are getting. It's the first sign, though, because it's at a certain distance away. So the inundating rains are going to be a major sign. Of course, they're going to be hailstones, large hailstorms, and record snowstorms and record heat, too, and droughts in the alternating with floods. It's really crazy.
You see, the extremes,
those signs will get more severe with as
the
as it gets closer,
that are happening
getting more
right
earthquakes
now
and volcanic
are an example
eruptions.
Of this. You see, we're already into the extremes. We've been in the extremes for the last 6 years.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Now,
I agree. But the flooding now is getting more severe, such that entire nations are getting flooded out.
Listen, it's too late now to evacuate the nation. Where are you going to evacuate them to? Mexico?
Well, no, I'm not advocating an evacuation.
No, let me finish.
I'm advocating people getting prepared.
Let me finish. Everybody needs to buckle down. There's no way you're going to get a chance. Everybody can't move at the same time. Where are you going to move to?
You don't move.
You don't. But what you do is you about where you're at. and you take extreme preparations, what would you do if you and your wife had five kids? That's 7 miles to feed, seven containers of water and shoes and toothpaste and clothing, and then you have a cat and a dog, and you got the pet food, and you got the medicines, and you got the cat litter, and it goes on and on.
Stock up on food and water. Get medical supplies.
The,
be
the
prepared
point
for
is,
weather, flooding.
You need to set up a checklist. Like I said, you need to take stock of who you are, where you are, what you are, and are you prepared?
One more thing, the checklist. Preparation requires that we watch for that tsunami. We watch the Cumbre Vieja.
Okay,
on the
guys,
East Coast,
what if there
so
is?
So we can flee. We can actually jump in a car and
John,
flee when danger
John,
perils,
that's
perils
not,
our home.
John,
that's practical.
John, please don't talk over me. That is not necessarily true. From what I have read, if you guys are on target, that the Earth will likely be so destroyed, it will be difficult for humans to even survive, except for those who have gone under the bunkers. So I'm not sure we are even meant to survive this, unless you are a selected one who goes under the bunkers.
Well, Gianni, we're playing dodgeball. In the beginning, you can dodge, you can survive for a while. The name of the game is surviving for as long as you can. When it gets really devastating, very few people will be able to survive without God, and it's going to get to that point where we will need God. But before
but
that,
John,
point,
is that
keep
not
people alive
like
an, for as
is
long
that
as
not, wait a minute, guys. Is that not like a nuclear bomb dropping? Just look at this analogy. Who would want to live through the devastation of radiation, the flash, the waves that come from a nuclear bomb? Who would want to try to survive that when the top of the Earth is already destroyed in major areas?
I'll tell you,
the same thing.
I'll tell you who. Those who call out to God will be supernaturally saved and protected physically and spiritually.
I agree. I said, but who would want to try to survive a nuclear weapon destruction any more than who would want to try to survive an earth that is on fire,
Gianni, every day that you stay alive is one day longer that you can bring someone to faith in God, the Savior, so that they can live eternally. That's the whole name of the game.
Well, that's
as many days you can keep alive is that's important.
I think that was an excellent point.
Let me jump in there. I got something to say about that. Listen, let's assume all of it's true. Everything that John is saying is true. There's still a practical, physical aspect to this. Whomever is here has to deal, whoever is left here does have to deal with the reality of what Gianni is saying, who in the H would like to be here during all that period of devastation. That's why I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to be that way. It's forecasted to be that way. I don't think it'll be that way.
The greatest prophet disagrees with you, Jay.
John.
The Lord Jesus Christ says this is going to be the worst ever.
John.
I think I'm going to go with his estimation.
John, I'm not challenging your viewpoint. So
it's not my viewpoint. It's the greatest prophet who ever lived. The Lord Jesus Christ says this will be the worst destruction of earth that has ever occurred throughout all of history.
Okay, well, somebody has brought to my attention in the chat room, guys, and this is a good point. What if all this stuff has been going on for decades and centuries, but we didn't know about it because we didn't have the power of technology to all of a sudden be sitting in here in the United States and see something that's happening in Asia? I mean, that wasn't there 40, 50 years ago or even 30 years ago.
But now with the power of technology,
we do see everything.
Wait a minute. You mean the world has been undergoing complete destruction and we never knew about it all these years because we didn't have high technology?
I'm not saying complete destruction, but I'm saying earthquakes. I'm saying that there volcanic eruptions.
No, we're talking about destruction of the world. We're talking about utter destruction of the world by earthquakes. We're talking about destruction of nations. The flooding of Pakistan never occurred before. The flooding of the entire nation of Australia never occurred before. The epic floods, I've done the meteorological study and collated the data. These epic floods we've had across the United States, so numerous, too numerous to mention, have never occurred before. These are breaking records. I've got on the Weather Channel records that they have stated five was it 7,000 records have been broken?
Broken.
The year 2000. 7,000 right. Temperature, rain, flooding, right. All kinds of records have been broken. You can't argue with that. That's just
Mama Nature's very upset, but it's not global warming and it is not global cooling.
I don't think it's
saying
global
it over and again.
Jason.
It's because the planet is confused because the sun is confused. The sun has been not behaving now for the last 8 to 16 to 19 months. Our sun's been acting awfully strange, like it's going to sleep, like it doesn't care. Now all of a sudden it's spinning back to life. It should have been nearing the peak of its 11-year cycle in June, July, or August of 2011. Instead, it's way behind schedule, and it's acting really weird, and is starting to send off electromagnetic storms and plasma bursts. I think it could be bad, but I'm not sure it's going to destroy the planet. I think there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on, but I don't think you will lose the planet the way John thinks. If I was I'd scare the heck out of them, but I sure wouldn't kill all of them. There'd be nobody left.
Wait a minute. He's going to save many. He says anyone who calls out to him will be saved supernaturally.
I already agree with you on that. I totally go along with that.
That's how merciful God is,
right.
Jason. He's not coming to destroy anyone who calls out to him. He's only calling to those who he's going to destroy those who shake their fist at him and refuse to call out to him.
That's
so
obvious.
Those who are Christians, then, John
and
Jason, those who are Christians should be saved, should they not?
Well, they should if they're really living as Christians.
If they're
not just
here.
They're walking the walk and they're talking the talk and they're walking the walk, yes, of course, they're gone. They're cool. But how many Christians are Christians in name only?
A minority.
Well,
you think, John? I think Jason may be right. I think
no, and I'm not placing any condemnation here.
I'm agreeing with Jason. I'm saying a minority.
You know how many different Christian ideologies and sects there are on this planet, just within the religion itself. It's mind-boggling how complicated it all is, and it drops right back into the heart of the Catholic Church.
Let me simplify it. It doesn't matter whether you're Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, or what. If you call out to God, the Savior, at that moment of terror, when you see all the destruction closing in and collapsing around you, you call out to God for safety and protection. He doesn't care whether you're a Buddhist or an atheist He's going to save you supernaturally. He guarantees that throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. But for those who shake their fist at him and curse God and refuse to call out his name, those will be destroyed.
That just kind of blew my mind here, John. You said it doesn't matter whether you're Buddhist or this or that. It does matter because Christians are taught. Wait a minute. The only true way to heaven is through the blood of Christ. If you don't believe in Christ, you're not going to heaven. So it does matter if you're Buddhist.
True.
It does matter if you're Jewish. It does matter if you're Muslim.
True, but what I'm saying, Gianni, is that when that Muslim or Buddhist person or atheist sees the earth breaking underneath him, it's an utter terror and his heart is failing. He calls out to God, save me. Well, listen, Gianni, God, save me. Who is the Yahshua Jesus? And translates in English to God is your Savior.
Okay, but
so
John,
he will save them. They don't know his name. They don't
today.
Know that his name is Jesus. It doesn't matter that we call him Jesus. If you call him God, save me, then you're calling out to God, Savior,
John, I don't
the
agree.
Lord
John,
Jesus Christ.
John, I was talking, I told you, with a Muslim today, and we were talking about this very topic, and she said to me, it doesn't matter to me because I'll call out to God. I follow God.
Sure.
And I said to her, Julia, who is your God? And she said, it's Allah. It does matter who they call to God.
They don't know the identity of God. They really don't know his identity.
All right. Listen, gentlemen, you were great again tonight. I think I need a tranquilizer. So we'll talk about having you two on again. I thank you both. Listeners, tune in next week on Sharia Law. And I want to say good night and God bless all of you. Thank you, gentlemen, both, for coming on.